Turn with me, please, to the Epistle of the Hebrews, chapter 12. Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. And we'll read, please, at verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Come back with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, and reading, please, in chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Reading, please, at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks which that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry. Now God will bless to us the reading of His precious word with what we've heard already tonight. While some may not be acquainted with what we looked at last night, others will recognize the fact that we have read again some of the scriptures that we read in the meeting last night. Reading first of all last night in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, we notice there that portion in connection with the fig tree, and how that fig tree would remind us of the warnings of God, of one who delays in their repentance. That tree upon which fruit was sought, and none was found. And the owner said, These 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree, and find none. And so the edict went forth, cut it down, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And we were noticing the solemnity and the seriousness of a soul putting off the matter of salvation, refusing to repent and bring forth fruit to God, and so that edict might come at any moment. Cut it down, cut him down, or cut her down. Why do they cumber the ground? Then we noticed how that the mercy pleaded that tree off, or perhaps thinking of it as the Holy Spirit of God, that dresser of the vineyard, he said, let it alone this year also, until I shall dig about it and dung it. And then after that, if it bear fruit, well. But after that, thou shalt cut it down. And I'm wondering if there's some in our meeting, as we made reference last night, that may have heard the gospel in times past. God has been dealing with you, and now you've come to that place where after that, thou shalt cut it down. Maybe getting to the end of your opportunities of the salvation that God has for you. The sinner's delay. Then we read, as I want to notice tonight, in Hebrews chapter 12, the sinner's disappointment, or the weeping, if you will, of late repentance. A man who repented, but he was too late with his repentance. And he sought it carefully. He sought the blessing with tears, but he lost the blessing. And oh, wouldn't it be sad if there was someone here tonight and you were to miss the blessing that God has for you. I thought of that man Esau, born into that family, with every opportunity, same opportunities as his brother had. But there came a time, if we were to have read back in the book of Genesis, we would have read in connection with this man Esau in Genesis 25, that he was a man who despised his birthright. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He came in from the field, faint and hungry, desiring something to satisfy the natural man, not interested in the blessing that was his, that should have been his, and could have been his. But instead, he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, traded that which belonged to him by right, just for something to satisfy the moment's gratification of the flesh. And the portion of scripture in Genesis 25 says, and thus Esau despised his birthright. When I was thinking of this man, I thought of three things, three mistakes that Esau made. And that was the first one. You know, people that have no time for God, no time for their soul, and no time to stop and think about eternity and where I'm going to be forever. You know, they never get the blessing. People that despise the blessing of God. After all, God gave the best that heaven could give. God emptied heaven of its best treasure. He sent his only Son to suffer, bleed, and die at Calvary in order that sinners might have their sins forgiven, might have peace with God, and might have heaven as their eternal home. And there are some today, even sad to say, among those who have been raised under the sound, the sweet strains of the gospel, and they have no time for the gospel, no time for salvation, no time for the person of God's beloved Son, and despising the blessing of God that he wants to lavish upon you, that he wants to bestow upon you tonight. I was thinking tonight of a man in Iowa I heard about a little while ago. It was several years ago. And in the little town where he lived, the gospel came, two men came preaching the gospel of Christ. It was corn planting time. And this man had five sons, and it was time to get busy and get out in the field and get on with the work. But the gospel came. And on the Sunday night, he said to his boys, to his family, he said, let's go and hear what these men have to say. And so they went, and they listened to what the preachers had to say, preaching the old-fashioned gospel in all its simplicity and in the power of the Spirit of God, and warning men and women of the danger of going down to hell in their sins, and telling them of a love that sent the Savior from above to die for their sins at Calvary. When they got home, or rather the next morning, when they were going to get into the work, and they knew that if they got started at their planting, it would take them from daylight till dark, and they wouldn't be able to get to the meetings. The father said to his boys, sons, he said, I want to ask you a question. And he started at the oldest, and he went around them. He said, do you think that what those men were saying was true? That God sent his son to die for sinners? And that if we're not saved, we'll be lost in hell forever? And the oldest one said, yes. Father, he said, I believe what those men were saying was true. And he went around each one of them. And each one of them said, yes, Father, I believe what the men were saying, were preaching, was the truth that was from the Word of God. God had spoken to all of them. The father looked at his boys and he said, boys, he said, I believe what those men were saying is true. And he said, I want to tell you something. We're not going to bother planting corn yet. We're going out to those meetings. And they went night after night. 2 weeks went by. And at the end of 2 weeks' time, that dear man and his five sons had all come to know Christ as their Savior. You see what I'm getting at? They determined that if this was true, nothing else was worthwhile. Nothing was worth a thought. And they left the planning to one side, and they got down to business about their soul. Friend, I want to tell you tonight that this is so important that there's nothing else that matters. Set it all to one side. I don't know what hinders you from coming to Christ tonight, but I know this, that there's nothing worth losing your soul for. The sequel to that story was that the third week, the father said to his boys on the Monday morning, he said, boys, God has blessed us. We've got salvation. He said, we're not going to plant corn this week. He said, we're going to praise God. And they went another week thanking God for giving his son to die on the cross. And at the end of the time, others pitched in and helped them, and they went and they planted their corn. And the story, it was true, of course, that the corn was put in for to be checked with other corn to see how it did, because that's what they do out there in Iowa. And his was the best corn in Iowa that year. God bless them. I want to tell you this, friend. The reason I mention that is this, that nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Too important. Here's a man we read about, and he despised his birthright. He didn't count it all important. And we want to impress you tonight that it is most important to get the matter of your soul salvation settled. There came a time in my life when a poor guilty sinner bound for hell, I said, if I don't get this settled now, I may never be saved. I may lose my soul forever. And I longed to get the matter straightened up. And I thank God for that day. That Sunday morning, God in his grace saved my precious soul. I said there were three mistakes that this man Esau made. He was too careless with his birthright. He despised it. But I think of this man when he went out to get the venison for his father at his father's request. He was a little too long in the field. A little too long in the field. You see, the Lord Jesus tells us about the field in the New Testament and I think of the field as this world, and there's some here, and you're going to spend a little too long in the world. You're looking to have your good time. You want to enjoy yourself for a little while, and you say, well, I'll get this matter settled sometime, but not just now. And as we've often quoted, give me just a little longer for the world looks now so bright. When I feel that I'm dying, I'll get saved, but not tonight. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, it's a most dangerous business, a most hazardous business to put off the matter of your soul salvation. Because you want a little time in the world, a little enjoyment in this ungodly scene. Thousands have done that, my friend, and they're weeping and wailing, they're falling in eternal judgment tonight, because they wanted a little longer. I was reading, you probably read one of the tracts I was reading out a while ago, a man by the name of Locksley. He went out from Liverpool with the captain of a ship, he was the first mate, and they were away for a number of months. The captain of that ship was a Christian, and he often used to speak to Locksley about his soul, try and warn him about the danger of putting it off. And whenever he would talk to Locksley, Locksley respected the captain for what he believed and what he stood for. And they're coming home now, they're only a day or two from port, not very far. And they're standing on the bridge together, and the captain said to Locksley, he said, Locksley, listen, what about your soul? We're coming back. You'll soon be home. Anything could happen. You could lose your soul. You could miss salvation. Locksley said, Captain, don't you worry about me. He said, I'm convinced that what you're telling me is true, is right. And he said, I mean to get this business settled. But he said, you know, when I get home from a trip like this, they always have a big do for me and a party and all that. And he said, when that's all over, he said, I promise you, Captain, I'll get the matter settled. And he had learned that his captain was a man of prayer. His captain took off his captain's cap, held it by his side, closed his eyes, lifted up his heart to God in silent prayer. Locksley waited respectfully until he was finished. And he said, thank you, Captain. I appreciate your concern. But he said, after the party, he said, I'll get the matter settled. The captain turned. He went down below. Left Locksley in charge on the bridge. He only got nicely down below, sitting down to a cup of coffee, when he heard a cry from up above, man overboard! And he hurried up to the bridge as quickly as he could, and he looked around and he said, where's Locksley? One of the mates there, he said, Captain, he said, Locksley went overboard. He was leaning over the edge of the bridge to adjust something, and he slipped. And they turned the big ship around, and they lowered a boat, and they got a man out. And there was Locksley out in the water, but by the time they got the boat out to where Locksley was, he was going down for the last time. Locksley lost his soul. He went out into eternity. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, it's a dangerous business. It's the most hazardous business to put off the salvation of your soul because it's for eternity. And you can lose everything. Here's a man who sold his soul for a mess of pottage. We were hearing about a man tonight by the name of Judas, and Judas sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. Just a little money to jingle in his pocket. And there are people today and they're selling their soul for the slightest trifles of earth. A moment's pleasure. A little bit of financial gain. A little bit of this world's goods. And what does it all mean? When the soul has gone out into eternity, it's all left behind. This man, we said, made three mistakes. He was too careless with his birthright. He was a little too long in the field. And I want to point out that he was a little too late for repentance. Oh, he came in, and he wanted the blessing, but he had been careless about it. He had been a little too long away. And when he came back looking for that blessing, if you read the scriptures in the Old Testament story, you discover that as Jacob was going out one side of the tent with that, with a blessing, the heels of Jacob, going out the tent, Esau was coming in. He was that close. And his father discovered that he had given the blessing to the wrong man. Well, in God's terms, it was the right man. Esau missed it. Esau missed it. Oh, friend, tonight, don't miss God's salvation. Don't miss it. It's for eternity. We're here a moment, and we're gone forever. And if you were to miss God's salvation, you've missed everything. Missed it all. Like that young man way over in the old country who had heard the gospel many times. One day out in the field, made up his mind because he had been bothered about these things. He asked God to take these thoughts away. And he'd get it settled some other time. And he went on with his work. And then suddenly he's taken ill and he's lying there dying. And they're pleading with him about his soul. And what is the young man saying? He's saying, yon prayer did it. It's too late. And he went out into eternity without the Savior. And oh, there's been so many. And that has happened. My friend, it's a solemn business to miss God's salvation and to miss it forever. I want to notice for a few moments the welcome of true repentance. My friend, there will be an awful weeping and wailing if you miss God's salvation. If you go into hell without Christ, you'll have all eternity to remember the gospel that you heard here at Victoria Drive. You'll hear the prayers, perhaps, of a mother or a father. You'll have time to think about the tears that were shed for your soul. And all the weeping. This man, Esau, what did he say? He sought that blessing carefully with tears. But he missed it. But I think of the welcome of true repentance. Here's a man we read about in Luke chapter 15. I like to think about the prodigal. That dear man, he's away off in the far country. Maybe that's where you are tonight. Trying to get your fill in this world. It's an empty place. It wasn't long until the poor man was right down at the very bottom. And he's away out there feeding swine, feeding the pigs. And pain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Right at the very bottom in destitution. And sin and helplessness and corruption. And there he is. In his abject misery. Maybe, friend, tonight you've tested the world, you've tried it, and found there's nothing there to satisfy. I want to tell you, friend, there's nothing that can give peace and joy in this world. I know the devil might give you a little peace for a while. He might give you a little pleasure for a while. It's only for a season, and then it's over. This young man, when he got to the end of himself, He came to that place where he said, he came to himself. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if some soul were to come to themselves tonight and say like he did, I will arise and go for my Father. I want to tell you, friend, you may not understand it in this meeting tonight if you're not saved, but there's a Father's heart that yearns for you. There's a God who gave His Son, who loved the world and gave His best for your precious soul to save you from hell. And the Father's eye is downward bent upon that child of woe, and there may be one in our meeting tonight, and God is looking down from high heaven, friend, and He longs to save you. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And tonight, He wants to save you. And all the time that poor prodigal is away off in the far country, there's a father's heart and it yearns for his boy. He has eyes of compassion and mercy, and they're downward bent along the roadway. He's waiting for the return of the prodigal. But oh, there comes a moment in that young man's life when he said these words, I will arise and go. Oh, friend, think of the determination, the sinner's determination. I believe that when a soul gets to that place where they want God's salvation more than anything else in the world, there's a Savior, and He's waiting, and He's ready, and He's willing to receive all that will come to Him. I don't know what's keeping you back tonight. What's keeping you from God's salvation? I wonder, is it a companion? I wonder, is it your good times? I wonder if it's some of those who have been raised in Christian homes and you're thinking like I did at one time. I used to think, my, won't it be nice? Won't it be great? Wonderful. When I can get away from the restraints of home and I can get out and enjoy the world and I can hurt my fling. I know the gospel. I can get that settled any time, but I'd like to have my little fling in the world. I want to tell you, friend, that's a dangerous business. You could lose your soul forever. And I thank God that as a lad of 12, I made up my mind. I want salvation. I want it at any cost. I don't care. I used to think, well, what will my chums say? Even at that age. But I came to that point where I didn't care about my chums or about anything else. God's salvation was all important. What about you tonight? Would you really like to be saved? What's hindering you? I think of a young woman. I knew her. I know her fairly well. Just married a short time, young family. She began to attend gospel meetings in the East. When she came home and told her husband what was going on, her husband's name, she called him Buddy. She said, Buddy, I was listening to the gospel, heard about God's salvation, and she said, I'd like to get saved. It's important. But he said, Mary, if you get saved, he said, I'm leaving and I'm taking the children. She didn't know what to do. The time for the gospel meeting came. Hard decision. She said, I'm going. She told Buddy, she said, I'm going to the gospel meeting. He said, remember what I told you. He said, if you get saved, we're leaving. And the children are going with me. You see, sometimes it means a difficult decision. But friend, I want to tell you that it's more important than anything else. And if the devil can outwit you and cheat you out of it, he'll do everything to do that. That young woman, she went to the meeting. She said, my soul is more important than anything else. That night, by the grace of God, she trusted Christ as her Savior. She came back home. She said to herself, there's no point in trying to hide anything. She opened the door. Buddy was waiting for her inside. She said, Buddy, I trusted Christ as my Savior tonight. She didn't know what to expect. You know, the devil's a great bluffer. You know what happened? Buddy broke down and he began to weep. He said, Mary, it must be worthwhile. He said, I'm going out to hear about it. And he went to the meeting. And God in his grace came in and saved him. Friend, I want to tell you, don't let anybody or anything hinder you from getting the greatest blessing that God could bestow upon you. Like this man, you make up your mind, I will arise and go. When you come to that determination, I believe you're within hope of salvation. He wants to save you, and he's willing to receive you. What a welcome awaited this young man. How many hired servants of my father, he said, have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go, and I'll say to my father, Father, I have sinned. Oh, I tell you, when there's true repentance wrought in the soul of an individual, there's a father's heart that's willing to meet you, friend, and to save you and to bless you. That father's eye was downward bent along the roadway, eyes of mercy. He had a heart of compassion and mercy. He had feet of mercy. When he saw the Lord coming, he recognized him and he ran to meet him. Oh, friend, the Father's heart is waiting, and he'll run to meet you. He had arms of compassion. He threw his arms around him, and the young man tried to get out his confession, and he started at it. But the Father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on, put a ring in his finger, and shoes on his feet, and kill the fatted calf. Let us eat and be merry. This my son was dead and is alive again. I want to tell you, friend, there's a father's welcome waiting for you tonight. I remember being in the exhibition grounds in the city of Toronto when men were coming back after the last World War. And I tell you, I'll never forget that scene. People were crowded into the Colosseum there. Ropes were put there to try and keep the people. So there was a little space coming in the doorway. The trains had come in, and everybody was waiting. Hundreds of people were there.